This series did a great job. If you haven't listened to it, go back and listen to them. And last week, we talked about faith, and I told stories about, when we talk about irrational fears. I was going to say, how many of y'all have irrational fears? Like, okay, like most of us, like we don't want to raise our hand because we have irrational fears that people will judge us, right? So, but we have like irrational fears. Like they hit us like in all of a sudden, right? So I talked about sleepwalking. And so I realized, so somebody like hit me up on Messenger this week, and they said, you never finished the story about you sleepwalking and where you ended up when you were sleepwalking. How many of y'all, anybody remember that? So they're like you never like resolved that. So basically, the story was that I used to sleepwalk when I was a kid. And so it was crazy. Even, I'll be honest, even into my early years of marriage, I would sleepwalk. Like, that's terrifying, right? Especially for, you know, so... And so my wife, she would always find like milk in the cupboard, right? Or she would find, you know, whatever, places, things in the wrong place. And that's just me. And then I asked last week, you guys are so mean to me. I asked last week, I said, who in here, are you ever sleepwalk? And like one person raised their hand up. I felt so alone. And so I'll ask again, anybody sleepwalk? Anybody sleepwalk? Yes? Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. So me and you, we got this, right? Right, me and you. So anyway, so I told the story that one day I woke up and I didn't know where I was. And I knew that I wasn't in my bed because the ground was solid. You know, it wasn't bouncy like your bed, right? And I actually remember as a kid standing up and like going, okay, I don't know where I am. And so actually I woke up and I was laying in the middle of the hall. And I was right next to the open door of our stairs. So I could have killed myself or at least, you know, broken something or whatever. But I remember just waking up being just terrified. Like, where am I? Like, you know. And then I told the story of my creepy mom's. No, my mom's not creepy. Lord, Mom, I love you. She's in heaven. So it was a picture of my mom that was creepy because it was a hand painting. It was, okay, no, you had to be like, go listen last week. It made a lot more sense. But I used to stare at that picture long enough to where the eyes would start moving and it would freak me out as a kid. So irrational fears, right? Just you know, some of you guys, this is your first time here going, okay, this guy's nuts. Okay, there's like the inner healing needed for that pastor. So but that was kind of my story growing up. And but we talked about irrational fears and actually how they play out in as we grow up. They become irrational fears about different things in life. Will I ever succeed? Or will things really work out for me like I had hoped? Or would they? Or are my kids going to go, you know, or did I do a terrible job raising my kids and they like fall away from the Lord? Or am I going to do a great job raising my kids and they still fall away from the Lord? Like you know, and all those fears, all these irrational fears that you get as parents and as people and as my boss is going to up and fire me because he had a bad day or all these things. Am I going to go broke? Am I going to have enough for retirement? All these questions that like just pound us and hit us and these irrational fears. And it's, we talked about last week how it's so easy, it's so natural to go negative, right? It's easy, right? It's easy to let your mind wander in the negative, right? That's easy because we can do that. I can create worst case scenarios better than anybody, right? So, but we talked about that that's not God's plan for us. And we talked about how faith is of the Spirit last week we talked about. Faith is not of our minds. You're not going to be able to walk in faith through our minds. And we talked about the scripture that says, but the natural man does not receive the things of God, for they're foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Everybody say spiritually discerned. The things that we believe are spiritually discerned. They're not always by our intellect, right? And so we talked about that faith, that by faith is our answer. Faith is your answer to step out of fear and into faith so you can receive what God's promises promises that are for you, right? Scriptures tell us that by faith the walls of Jericho fell. By faith David slew Goliath. By faith Rahab was spared. By faith Abraham left his home, his own place, and went to a place that he didn't know of. By faith Gideon won the victory, right? And we know of the Old Testament. And then in the New Testament, by faith Peter actually walked on water. By faith. And the woman was healed by faith. Faith, we said last week, is the hand that reaches out into the supernatural and brings back the answers. Now, this is tough for a lot of us because we're We're mental people. We like to think. We got to figure it out with our minds. But faith is a whole different realm. Faith is by your spirit. And we talked last week, and we'll talk more about it today, how you can grow your faith. And we're going to talk about how to do that this morning in real practical terms. And you're like, where is your pulpit and why is there drawings up here on the thing? And we'll get to that. So my wife did these, well, me and my wife did these yesterday. And I did have one part to play in all this, and it was this right here where I dripped paint on. That was my, Julie was the rest where it was nice and everything. But so anyway, so she's like, David, just let me do it, right? So believe in God. We will overcome by faith. How do we have faith? How do we have faith? I want to go to a scripture in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 10. We know the story, some of us know the story of Abraham. Abraham was in the city of the area of Ur, right? And God tells him, I want you to leave and go to a place that you don't know. Fantastic. I did that and I went to Oklahoma. And but I remember God speaking, God will speak to you. Let me just step out of that for a minute. God spoke to Abraham and he called Abraham out of where he was comfortable and took him into a place where he didn't know. And God spoke to him to do that. So he did, right? And so God has taken Abraham, and now in his old age, God gives him this promise. Genesis chapter 18, verse 10, it says, "Then okay, so what's going on is, so they're just doing their thing, and God appears to them in the form of three angels, right? And God, and those angels, they speak to him the promises. They speak the promises about Sarah becoming pregnant in her old age. And it says, then one of them said, "Surely I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, and she was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, and after I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I still have this pleasure? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why does Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so they, you know, that's Sarah. So Sarah was afraid, and so she laughed. She lied, and she said, I didn't laugh. But he said, yes, you did laugh. All right, we can be hard on other people and ourselves, right? When God gives you a promise, like, we may not laugh. Like, this is straight up doubt and unbelief, right? This is just straight, we're all adults, right? Like, my husband, I'm old, and I know my husband's old, and this ain't gonna happen. I don't know if you know how things work, God, but this ain't working. This is not happening. I'm old and he's old. She probably said, I'm old and he's really old. None of this is going to happen. And she laughed at God's promise. But watch this. In Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 11, I'm going to read a portion of the scripture and come back and read the rest of it later. It says, and by faith. Everybody say, by faith. By faith, even Sarah, who was past the childbearing age, was able to bear children. How did Sarah bear children? By faith. Scripture is plain. The Bible says that Sarah, by faith, was able to bear children in her old age. By faith. By faith. But wait a minute. That kind of goes against what there's going on in the story, right? In Genesis. Like, wait a minute. She's laughing. Last time we see Sarah, God's promising her things, and she's responding like a lot of us respond. Right. 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 God's going to pull me out of this mess. Right. So we see, but the scripture is plain. By faith. By faith. So we're going to go to a little bit further on in the scripture and discover that there is a process that Sarah went from unbelief to firm belief. Because this scripture is true. Sarah did by faith have power to conceive when she was old. And so we're going to talk about it. See, the first thing that we need to know, we said last week that I was going to teach on the fact that faith is based on two types of understanding. Two types of understanding. So what we're going to illustrate here today is that this table and the amount of force that you put onto this table happens to have two legs. It had to have two legs because it makes, right? But if you press on this, because these legs are sturdy and these legs are strong, I can put force on this and it will remain up, right? It'll stay standing. It'll support the weight, whatever weight is put on this table. So I want to talk about what two forms of knowledge and two forms of understanding that we're going to have to know in order for us to have a solid foundation of our faith. What are two things that you need to believe and understand about who God is and that so that you can have faith? What does faith look like? It's based on two types of knowledge. And I'll reveal the first one. The first one is knowledge of God's promises. The promises. The promises of God. We have to know the promises of God. What are the promises that God has given to you in His Word, right? What was the promise that God gave to Abraham? In Genesis chapter 17, it says this. In verse 15, it says, "Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarah," this is God, "as for Sarah your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall her be her name. And I will bless her also and give you a son by her. And I will bless her, and she shall be the mother of nations. The kings of people shall be from her." The promises of Sarah. Sarah is going to bear children. Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. That's the promise. But the problem is that this is years later, and we've still seen nothing. And we've even, this is a little side note, we've even seen Abraham and Sarah try to fix the problem on their own. And we have Ishmael. We won't get into all what represents an Ishmael. But the thing about it is, see, Sarah and Abraham, remember I said, I don't know if you were here last week, but if you were here last week, I said this. I said, you know what, sometimes we receive God's promise, we receive where God wants to take us, and we kind of say, "God, I got this. I'll take it from here," right? And we just go, and we just do whatever we feel like we should be. "I can figure this out. God, I got you. I got you on this one." And then it's almost like Abraham and Sarah goes, "You know what? I really don't want to make God look bad." Isn't that what they were saying? They're like, "I really don't want to make God a liar. So we're gonna, Sarah, Abraham, I tell you what." Sarah says, "Why don't you just go have a child with my handmaiden?" Brilliant idea. Right? And so they do. And so then it becomes this whole big mess. And I won't go into all the mess, but it became a big mess. So me and my wife, we have a saying like this when we talk about what God has for us and we want to jump ahead of God and try to do things even on our own strength. My wife coined the phrase in our home. She goes, "We don't want to whip up an Ishmael." Because we're tempted to do it, right? I remember when we started this church, we're like, we had great ideas. We had like, well, we could do this, we could do that, we could do this, and all the stuff that just floods you, and you go, and we just have to step back and go, I don't know, but the last thing we want to do is whip up a church Ishmael. All right? And we're tempted to do it. We're tempted to just go, well, we'll settle for whatever. We'll settle for this. But we're not willing to wait until the full promise of God and trust God that what God said, Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. And he didn't say that the handmaiden would be the mother. He said Sarah would be the mother. And so time goes on and your faith wears weak. I understand it, right? We understand it. We don't have to pick on these guys because we do the same thing. God says, I will. What were the promises? The promise was, Sarah, you will be the mother. Abraham, you'll be the father of many nations. And out of you too, God created the whole, and we know the rest of the story, right? And through them was a nation of Israel, right? So what about for us? What do we do? Continue to repeat yourself as a pastor. You do it all the time, right? What does God's word say about your issue? What does God's word say about what you're facing? What does God's word say? Is it financial? What does God's word say about your finances? Have we believed the lie that God just wants us to barely get along and be broke? Well, no, God, because God, the Word of God says, God gives me an abundance towards every good work. If we're supposed to be active givers, how are we going to be active givers if we don't have any resources to give? God wants us blessed. He told Abraham, Abraham, I'll bless you so that you'll be a blessing. God wants all your bills paid. He wants all your stuff. He wants to have all your bills paid and extra so that you can be a giver to other people who are in need. What does God's word say about the peace, right? That God will give you peace. What does God's word say about your friends and the people that you care about, that maybe your children that are away from God? What does God's word say about it? You know what God's word says? God says if you pray, God will send forth laborers into that field. God will speak to those people and God will bring people into their lives to be able to preach. If they won't listen to me, they'll listen to somebody because God, you love them. God, your word says, God, you don't have that you will it that no man should perish, but all that would come to life. God, that's what your word says. So what do? You hold on to that word. That's the truth about your circumstances. You say, I don't know what the word says about my circumstances. Well, that's amazing because on the Hope Church website, we've created a page, haven't we, Brian? We've created a page on there. It's our free resources page. And on there, it lists, 20, 30 different topics of different things that we face in our lives. What does God's word say about sickness? What does God's word say about the peace of God? What does God's word say about, growing older? What does God's word say about all this stuff? Well, it's right there on our free resource. You can click right on it, and you can find out what God's Word says. And we make it really easy. HopeChurchATL.com. It's a really great website. Brian created it for us. But how many of you know I'm so off my notes. It's not even funny. How many of you know that a lot of us have been in church for a long time. And a lot of us know the promises. A lot of us know. I know what God's word says about finances. I know what God's word says about peace. I know what God's word has about my future and what God wants to do in me. I know what God's word says. But will we really do it? Isn't that the question? But will he really do that for me? He may do that for Jessica because she serves and sings so awesomely. And she may do that. She may do that for Mike because Mike's, you know, cool and all. But I'm just a curly-headed, goofy guy. Like, why would God do that for me? I know the promises. I know them. I know what the promises say. But will he do it for me? Let's look at that scripture back in Hebrews chapter 11. It says this, "And by faith, Sarah, who was past the childbearing age, was enabled to bear children." Watch this. You have the rest of it? "Because she considered him faithful." Faithful who had promised. Faithful. God is faithful. So what happens to Sarah? I don't have my pulpit this morning, so I'm struggling. So what happens to Sarah? Because I preach with my hands. What happens to Sarah? Last time we saw Sarah, she's laughing at the promises of God. But the Bible says that who was past the childbearing age was unable to bear children because, huge word, she had faith because she considered him faithful who had promised. How do you know that you have faith? How do you know that you can ensure and strengthen your faith? Because he is faithful who promises. And it's not one or the other. It has to be both. You want to have solid faith. You need to understand that God is faithful. Not just that he promises. Now go through, some of you people have been in the Word of Faith teaching. And you go through all of the scriptures that you've ever, or the sermons that you've ever heard about healing. Go through all the scriptures about provision. Go through all the scriptures about faith. And all the scriptures you could, if you could mount the, we used to have cassettes. I was going to say cassettes. If you could take all those cassettes, right, from the old Word of Faith days, and you could put those on the ground and you could stack those sermons up and you could, man, you could to the sky, some of us. I've heard this taught. I know what God's Word says. But then go back and think about how many messages you've ever heard on the fact that God will do what he said he will do. Oh, I know the promises. I know them. But will he do what he said he will do? That's the question. That's the question that we all have. Will God do what we said he will do? And then, watch this. Oh, Greg, could you help me out? So, when God wants to give you, let me just read. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures before Greg really brings that out. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, "God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, the Lord Jesus, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful." 1 Corinthians 10, 13, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful." 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3 says, "The Lord is faithful. He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one." So what happens is if we don't understand that God is faithful, then when pressure, go ahead, Greg, when pressure, you can grab, here, hand me one of them. I got it. When pressure, go ahead, when pressure is put on this table. Last time I did this illustration, I stood on it. And my wife said, "Don't stand on it again. Put it in the middle. Just put it in the middle, Greg." Because there's a leg, there's two legs on this table. When pressure comes, when the realities of life hit you, the table stands because the two legs are sure and secure. When you get that report from the doctor, when you get that other bill that you forgot all about, and you all of a sudden you got more month than rent than money, right? And all of a sudden that happens to you, and you feel the weight of this stuff, this life. If you don't understand God's promises, if you don't understand God's faithfulness, I'm not going to kick the tables out so they'll all fall. But you know what will happen? It's got to be both. Guys, listen, we need to, that's why this is so much more than just a religious exercise. You've got to know God. Know Him. Know Him. That's why we do worship, right? We spend time worshiping God. And you know what happens is you start to know God. And maybe you start to even sense His presence on you. His faithfulness. God is faithful. But see, the other way is true too. Like you remember, you know that scripture? This says God is faithful. That it says, if anyone confesses a sin, He is faithful and just to forgive those sins. Right? Oh, we know that, right? How many of y'all walk and activate that almost every day of your life, right? You just go, God, You're faithful and just because I am a jerk and I just went off on my kids again and God, just forgive me. I'm just real life, right? I just went off. I said things I shouldn't have said. I did things I shouldn't have done, but whatever. God, I confess my faults and God, You're faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me all of all unrighteousness. God, You're faithful. Yeah, I believe that. Believe that. Oh, yeah, will He do it? Oh, absolutely, He'll do it. Because you know what? Because I need Him to do it, right? But then you talk about your kids. Then you talk about your finances. Then you talk about your, it's the same faith. You say, well, I don't have faith. Yes, you do. Actually, the Word says that we've all been given a measure of faith. The measure of faith. It's all in us. So what should we do as believers? We should be shoring up these legs of these tables constantly. Constantly. Watch this. In Revelations, I don't have the scripture, but it's on my mind. It says, they overcame, right, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, right? What did Sarah do? Go put that scripture back up there. There's an interesting word in this scripture. Hebrews 11. I guess I probably should tell you which scripture to put up. Hebrews 11, verse 11. Thanks, Ty. It says, and by faith Sarah, who was past the age of childbearing, she was unable to bear children because she did what? Considered Him faithful who had promised. Considered. What does that tell me then? Had to have been some time where Sarah sat down in her tent, and she went, right. But you know what? I remember when God told my husband to leave the city that we're from and take us to a city that we didn't even know existed. We just kind of started walking, following God. I was pretty scared. But you know what? God has always been with us. He has never quit us. You know, and He's provided every step of the way. And the same God who promised my husband then is giving me this promise now. You see it? All of a sudden, faith starts happening. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. God's done some stuff for some of you in this place. God's done a lot for some of you. And you look back and you, like the psalmist says, if it hadn't been for the Lord, all my enemies would have rose up and crushed us. All of our enemies would have taken over. Some of you, that can be your testimony. But you go, if God took care of me then, God's going to take care of me now. This situation, it may be bigger, but it's no different. It's no more supernatural than what God's done for me in the past. What are you doing? You're strengthening God's faithfulness. You know what? So out of your mouth sometimes, guys, listen, what we need to be doing, we should be on purpose thinking about the things that God's done for us. And then open your mouth and go, God, I want to thank You. God, that you have never left me. You've never forsaken me. God, I remember when my marriage was a wreck, But God, I thank you, God, that you, I stand on the other side of that now. Watch how you delivered me out of that mess and out of my own way and out of my own thinking, God, that now I'm in a place, God, where you have strengthened me. God, I thank you. I want to thank you, God. It wasn't me, God, it was you who did all of that. God, I want to thank you, God. There was a time when I was in Oklahoma and I didn't have any money and I didn't have enough money to pay for Bible school. And I was like $300 short, and God, for the month. And I thank you, God, when I opened up that mailbox and there was two checks in there that totaled $300. God, I remember that, God, that you are faithful who had promised, God. And so, God, if you can do that then, God, I know, and I choose to believe you, God, that you're going to do it again. That God, you have not left me. God, that where you were with me before, God, you're going to be with me again. Just like what I'm going to do from the lion, what David says, hey, look, the lion and the bear attacked me. Goliath, it's going to happen to you because God is faithful to me then. He's going to be faithful to me now. And you build God's faithfulness by your mouth and by what you say and by worship and praise and adoration and thanksgiving to God. Enter his courts with thanksgiving. What is thanksgiving? It's not just when you eat turkey. It's Thanksgiving is when you thank God and you on purpose. We can't be lazy like we always want to get. But think about, remember those times. Remember what God's done for you. How many times in the Old Testament it says, hey, Israel, don't forget what you've done. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, right? We have a tendency to forget what God's done for us in the past with what's the immediate stuff that's going on right now. If God was with you in the past, he will be with you moving forward. He has never left you, and nor will he leave you in this circumstance. Amen? Amen. Amen. Faithfulness. Knowledge of God's promises. God, she considered him faithful who had promised. Know your promises. Know that God will do what he said he will do. I remember when we were over at another church and God started speaking to Julie and I about starting a church. And man, I remember just getting real excited. You know when you get a vision? You know when you start getting that vision of what God wants to do for you, or a vision for maybe a new job or a new career, or God starts putting that stuff on the inside of you and you just go, oh man, this is going to be great. Or we're going to have children and they're going to be awesome. And then you have children. And you go, well, hold on a second. Right? I remember when God started speaking to us about starting a church, man, the excitement that built up. Right? You're just like, oh man, this will be great. Are you kidding me? It's me and Julie. Like, Julie's like 100 times better than I am. She's awesome. She's on my team. Let me just give a word of that, God put that in me long before he ever put it in Julie. No, but seriously, but you know what? I waited until God spoke to her. I waited until God spoke to her to start moving forward with anything. And what did I do? I gave it to God. I said, God, it's yours. I said, I'm not doing anything without her. Because we have to work, we got to do this together. Because we know what ministry can be like, right? We know what it can be like for our children. We know what it can be like for, we just know. We've been around ministry too long. So I was like, I'll wait. But God is faithful. God is faithful. And I was like, whoa, this is going to be great. Julie's all in. We're going to do it. It's going to be great. We're going to call it Hope Church. It's going to be great. Community of Hope. We're going to bring hope to people. It's going to be wonderful. And then we're like, oh, we got to find a building. You mean we can't just meet in the Hunter's house all the time? They were there the first meeting, very first meeting. We can't just meet in their house all the time. Our first church service was communion at you guys' house in the living room with 15 of us. And we're like, woo, here we go, charge. You got to have a building. You got 15 people, you don't have enough money for a building. And then people are renting out, people rent all kind of, they rent out theaters, remember that? People rent out theaters, let's call and check on, oh, no, thank you, bye. Oh my gosh, that's a lot of money for one day or a few hours. We go, oh my gosh, so what are we going to do? oh my gosh. And I remember like, oh, this was a great idea until like you actually start working this thing. And you go, oh yeah, well, and then it's like somebody goes, oh, well, we're just going to trust God. And oh, yeah, we're going to trust God. Yeah, trust God. Yes, I'm the pastor. We're going to trust God. We're going to trust God. And then all of a sudden, God gives us this building. You called. We got the building. So we met with our landlord, and we went, we don't have any money, but we'd love to use your building. And he said, okay. He said, you can have it rent free. Now, if somebody wants to come and rent it, you guys got to get out. I was like, well, that's a problem. So we didn't have any money. We had a little bit of money. We didn't have much money to pay rent, like on and on. And we went, well, great. And then we had to not only believe for a building, we got a building, woohoo! And then next, you go, we got to pray and believe nobody else will want this building. And then the building looked terrible. Craig didn't even want to walk in the door. He said, there's demons in here. It's awful. All these walls were solid black. It was like a dungeon. It's like, what? I don't know. I'd sense something in this. And then Craig literally would not go into the back by the sink back there because it was nasty. And when I was so full of vision, I was like, this is great because it was free. Hey, we're all going to meet. Oh, we don't have chairs. Oh, bring your own chair Sunday. So we did. For the first, like, how long? I don't know, for months. Like, it was bring your own chair Sunday. And then we got chairs, and people were mad at me because we got chairs. We left our lawn chairs. But I remember, like, look, watch. One step, God provided. Boom, another problem. Oh, crud. Believe God, trust God. Again. What to do? Trust God. Oh, God came through. Oh, let's go talk to him. Let's work out a payment thing for them. He's going to ask for, like, more money than we know. He goes, all right, we'll start you off at $600 a month. This is how many? 5,000? This is 5,000? Something like that. 5,000 square feet for $600 a month. Unheard of. And then everybody just came out, and we redecorated the place. This is, like, actually the third renovation of this building, to give you kind of a backstory. But we just watched. Like, what I'm trying to say is one step, we had to trust God. Next step. We had to trust God again. Next step, we had to trust God again. Next step, we had to trust God again. God is faithful. And then God's like, you know what? Like right now, we're like going, okay, so eventually we're going to have to move out of here. Where are we going to move? And we look at the rent and we go, oh my gosh, it's huge. We're going to trust God. That's what we're going to do. Because you know what? If God can give us a free building then, if he can give us what we can afford then, God's going to give us what we can afford next. And God's going to provide everything we need for this church. And we're going to watch how God just provides and brings people. And we're going to watch God do that for us. Amen? And we're going to watch people grow in their relationship with God and grow closer to God. It's so wonderful. And you guys are going to be a part of it. We're all going to be a part of it. Because it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about God and what God wants to do. And it's his church. And you know what? You are his child. And what God has done for this church, it's not just because it's a church. And what God has done for you in the past, God is going to bring it to pass now for you. It says, the just shall live by faith. Faith. And how do we receive it? We receive it by faith. I'm totally away from my notes, so I have no idea how I'm going to close this. But I want to encourage you this morning. Grow in your understanding of what God's promises are for you. Some of you are like, I believe God that I'm going to go to heaven when I die. How do you know that? Because of God's promises. And God will do what he said he will do. Right? How am I going to grow in my faith? Going to grow in God's promises. And we're going to grow in our understanding of God's faithful. He who promised is faithful. Actually, I have that scripture. You have that scripture? Cast not, what is it? What was this? Hang on a second, sorry. Yeah, Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast to our confession of hope, without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. He who promised, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope, without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let's everybody stand up. Craig, why don't you just come up by yourself today? I got the stage all messed up. Let's just close our eyes, just you and him. To help you this morning, faithful. He is faithful who had promised. We can grow. We can grow. Say, I can grow in my faith. I know God promised it. And I know God will do it. God not as a, he's not a man that he should lie. Father, I pray. Maybe you're in here and you just say, you know what? I'm going through a mess.